This morning we're gonna dive into the Word. We're gonna share some illustrations. We're gonna do some different things. I'm gonna try to make it so that the adults are entertained, you know, and can follow along with us kids, okay? Because sometimes they have trouble following along and listening to the message. I'm gonna try to make it fun for them. I know you guys are much more mature, you young kids here, and you can handle it. But the adults, we're gonna do some fun things. Try to keep them in line this morning. But I have been so excited about this service. There's something about just coming together as a family. And again, it's like the old youth pastor in me kind of coming out and just having fun. As a matter of fact, I've been so excited this morning that I realized during worship, I was like, I didn't bring my breakfast I brought with me this morning. And I'm like, oh man, I don't even know if I can preach without, you know, my breakfast. And so I'm wondering if it's okay.
Boy, that's a good breakfast.
You guys laughed. Do you not, nobody else eats Alpo for breakfast?
No.
Seriously? Now, I do have to say this. The chicken, oh, it's nasty. But if you get the Chop House original beef, okay? That's the secret. You probably tried the chicken and rice. Does not work, okay? But I oftentimes, I head out and I forget to eat, and so I keep these cans of Breakfast of Champions, you know, right? You've seen those Great Danes and the Boxers and all those are champions, right? Breakfast of Champions. I keep these with me because sometimes you just never know when you're going to need something to eat. And so I'm going to open this here this morning, and I hope you're not grossed out by this. But I've got some nice, I love the smell of it. I don't know where to put that. You guys want to smell that? Let me put that back here. All right, but this is some good stuff. Now, a lot of you are sitting there going, there is no way he's going to take a bite out of that this morning. But honestly, I hear people, see, this is youth group. Do it, do it, do it, you know. But original Chop House stuff, okay? Oh, I love the gelatinous feel that you have in there, okay? It's quite tasty. And the nice thing about this, you don't even need to heat it up. It's just good right out of the can, okay? It's delicious, okay? It is the most... You know, actually, it's really not that bad. It's actually pretty tasty, I should say. Surprisingly, yeah, honey, do you want to kiss? All right. But sometimes, you know, you forget, and so having these, and you don't need them. Sorry, my wife hates when I talk with my mouth full, but it's hard to preach and eat at the same time. But, you know, these things, just keep in your car. They don't need to be refrigerated. They're good to go. Good stuff. Yeah, this is common meal today. I've got a bunch of these down for all of us to share. Now, this is why I love family services, because it kind of takes me back to my old days. Stuff like this I do in youth group, and you can imagine the girls in youth group and the freaking out that they do. Ah, that's so gross. But the question here, really, do you think, and maybe some of you go, of course you would, Darren. Do you think I would actually eat dog food? I guess I'm the wrong person to ask that question about. Here, Emma, you want to take a bite of this for me? Here we go. Let's. This will make it a little bit easier. Here we go, Emma. Take a bite of this. Now, do you think my daughter would eat dog food? All right. The reality is, I would not eat dog food. My wife would not eat dog food. This is actually a mixture of orange Jell-O, Snicker bars, and a little bit of food coloring, okay? Now, you don't know this, but underneath this wrapper, you take it off. I cut this can in half, put this stuff in, put it back together, put a wrapper on it. Now, I didn't even use a dog food can, okay? Something I read there, like, oh, yeah, you take the dog food can, take it out, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you crazy? I got a fruit can I used, and I cut it in half and put it in there. And made it, and I am surprised at how real that looks. It is like, really looks like dog food, okay? But I would not eat dog food, okay? Now, what is my purpose of bringing you my breakfast this morning, okay? And that's not really my breakfast. I wanted you to realize that things aren't always what they seem, right? You all thought we were eating dog food. You thought my daughter, oh my gosh, you would feed her dog food. Things aren't always what they seem. We can often be deceived by appearance. Just because that has a dog food label on it, the appearance of it looked like dog food, and we were all deceived to believe that inside there was dog food. And we can often be deceived by appearance, where inside is something completely different than what it looks like on the outside. Today we're going to read a story from the Bible, okay? We're going to read a story from the Bible where things weren't exactly how they seemed to Samuel. We're gonna look in 1 Samuel chapter 16 this morning. If you have that, you can turn your Bible to that. In this story, let me kind of give you some background. Saul was the king of Israel, okay? Now, Saul kept messing up, right? God kept giving him chances, and Saul just kept messing up. And so God told Samuel that he has rejected Saul. He said, I have rejected Saul, and I am going to send you now to anoint a new king. And so we're going to pick up here in 1 Samuel 16. We're going to start in verse 4 of chapter 16. We're going to read 4 through 13. And this here is where Samuel is going to anoint a new king. And so if you want to follow along with me, if you have your Bibles, if not, I will read and you can just kind of listen to the story as we walk through it. But it says this, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Because they knew this was a man of God. And they thought, oh, have we done something wrong? What's going on? Do you come in peace? And I just spit chunks of Snickers onto my Bible. Nice. Wow. I'm glad it wasn't really dog food. That would make my Bible smell for a long time. Anyways, all right, where was I at here? Verse 5, do you come in peace? And then verse 5, Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourself and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, all right? So this is Jesse's oldest boy, and he comes in big, strong, I imagine, strapping, beautiful, handsome. I don't know if beautiful, you can use that for guys, but handsome young man, right? He comes in, and it says, when he saw Eliab, he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. So he sees this young strap, he's the oldest of all the boys, and he thinks, surely this is the one, right? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, right? The Alpo tag on the can. But the Lord looks at the heart, that yummy Snickers on the inside, right? Verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab, and said, had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Verse 12, so he went and had him brought in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Great story. I love this story here in 1 Samuel, where Samuel goes to anoint the king, and this is where King David is anointed to be king over all of Israel. And I want to walk through what's really happening here. You know, Samuel, his job is to anoint a new king. And we realize here from the text, he knows, you kind of get the idea that he knows it's going to be one of Jesse's boys, okay? He knows that it's one of Jesse's boys, and so he's focusing on his boys. And so we said Eliab comes forward, but he says, no, this isn't him. And why do you think that Samuel thought he was the one? I'm guessing, you know, like I said earlier, I'm guessing that he was probably one of the biggest, one of the strongest, probably a lot like me, right? No, I'm just kidding. but he was probably, you know, one of the best looking. That's where I'm out of the picture there, all right? One of the best looking, you know, the strongest, the biggest guys. And so he was the oldest one. So I imagine immediately Samuel's thinking, this must be the one. Surely look at this guy, man. He looks like, you know, Captain America, you know, this buff big dude, you know? And it's like, no, it's not the one. Because why? We see it here in verse 7. Let me just read it to you one more time. God says this to Samuel. He says, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. See, we're drawn to that, you know, the strong, handsome, you know, tall, beautiful, whatever, you throw it out. We're drawn to those things. We're drawn to the appearance. It says, God does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord, he looks at the heart. Now, I want to do another little allusion with you this morning. It's not as gross as the dog food. I'm sorry if some of you are like, your food's stirring in your stomach this morning for that one. But it's the youth that comes out in me. But I want to do another little illustration for you this morning. An illustration that helps with the idea that things aren't always what they seem to the human eye. The appearance that you see isn't always what you really see. Much like the breakfast this morning and how our view can be skewed by our eyes and what we see. And so I've got three ropes. This morning, okay, and you'll notice from the appearance, we've got a short rope, right? We've got a medium rope, right? And we've got a long rope, okay? Now, to our eyes, that's how it appears, correct? It appears like a small, a medium, and large. Now, this illusion, the whole point of this is for us to realize this is kind of how we view and we see people, right? When we look around the world, we see different shapes and sizes, colors. You know, some are taller, some are shorter, some are wider, some are thinner, some are this, some are that. We see all these different things, right? And that's what these ropes are supposed to represent this morning. Now, it's really interesting. When I was a little kid, you know, you'd hear, well, God doesn't see us the way everyone else sees us. When I was young, you know, you had this thought. Well, I understand why that is. I'm going to show you this morning. I'm going to pull this up here and show you. So I had this thought, well, we're down here, and we're just looking at everybody this way, so I can see tall and short. And so I thought, well, if we pull these up, God, you know, he, in my mind, was always, God was way up there. And I thought, well, he's just looking down. We all just look like ants. That's why we all look the same to God, right? You know, that was the thought. And then I realized, you know, I was a little kid, and that's not actually true. And I realized even if God's looking from above, you know, some people have blonde hair, some people have brown hair, some people have gray hair and no hair, yes, you know. I wasn't going to say that, but you threw that in there. But, you know, and so there's all differences. So I'm thinking, okay, well, that cannot be the reality. It can't be that, well, God just sees us from above. The fact is God sees supernaturally in a way that we never can. And we're never going to be able to look at these three ropes and see three ropes the same if we don't have the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we don't see in the way that God sees. But you see, if we put on our godly eyes, what can happen is we can take these three ropes that were three different sizes and we can make them all of a sudden become three ropes that are the same size, right? How many are there? One. How many? Two. Three ropes that are the same size. Now, you thought to your eye they were different, but how appearances can be deceiving. But you see, this is when we see with God's eyes. But so often we live in a world with sin and we get jumbled into the mess of everything and all the other things, right? And once again, we start to see things with different sizes. Small, medium, and large. Pretty cool, huh? I thought that was cool when I learned that trick. And it is just a trick, all right? No magic involved. We don't do magic at church. Those are illusions, all right? Now, you see, God, he didn't choose David because of his appearance. He didn't go, oh, look, David's the big, tall rope. Yes, that's who I want. He's the man. He didn't choose David because of appearance. He chose David because of his heart. He chose, I can speak this morning. Speaking to kids, so I'm going back to my young language here. He chose David because he saw something that many of us can't see, the potential that God has in each and every one of us. So often we just see the world's view, and we fail to see the potential that God has in each and every one of us. You see, the reality is there are some of us here in this room that are young. There are. There are some of us in this room that are old, okay? Let's be honest and let's just face the facts. Sorry, and I'm referring to myself. I wasn't referring to anybody else in this room. Some of us in this room, our parents may be scarred a little bit from our past failures, right? Some of us in this room, we may even look or feel at times hopeless because of situations we face. But aren't you glad that God doesn't see us in those ways? He doesn't see young and old. He doesn't see the scarred and the hopeless. When God looks at us, He sees the potential of who He's called you to be. He sees His child who He created in His likeness for His glory. He sees men and women of God that He wants to use to further His kingdom. And when I say men and women of God, that's you little kids too. He wants you to grow up and become who He's called you to be. And right now, He wants you to be who He's called you to be. You see, David, you know, you talk about being young. David was a mere boy when Samuel anointed him. He was just a boy. He was young. And he had to continue to learn and grow in his faith. And here's the thing about David. Think about this. Think about this story and how it took place here in 1 Samuel. Not even David's dad saw the potential of his youngest boy. Think about it. Where was David? David wasn't at the feast. He wasn't with all the other brothers. The seven other brothers, they were there, right? If Jesse would have thought David would have been the one, don't you think he would have had his son there at the feast? It's like when he asked, don't you have any other kids? Oh, well, yeah, just the youngest. I mean, even the way it's said there, it's like, well, surely it can't be him. He's just the baby. He's the little one. Really? He's God's anointing? He's the one God wants to use? See, the reality is many people are going to overlook us. Maybe because we're young, or maybe because we're old, or maybe because we're this, or maybe because we're that. But we have to realize God will never overlook us. He doesn't allow our age or our appearance or our past to exclude us from His calling upon our lives. God has called each and every one of us to love Him and to serve Him. He's called us to follow Him. He's called us to let our light shine, right? Remember that little song in Sunday school? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. He's called us to let our light, even if it's that little light, even if we're young, He's called us to let our light shine for Him and to shine in a way that draws others to Him. And we can't let opinions or views of other people keep us from doing what God has anointed each of us to do. You see, God anointed David to be king, but did he immediately step into the throne? No, there was a process of growing and learning and becoming who God created him to be. God's anointed all of you to let your light shine. And it's a process of growing in Him and letting His light shine through us. What does it look like? Well, I thought as I was thinking about this, the Lord always brings us back so often to our mission statement. If you go to this church, our mission statement, it should be your mission statement. If this is the place that you call your home, and if you don't know our mission statement, it's simply this. It's loving God and loving people to extend His kingdom, okay? It's a simple, simple mission statement. As a matter of fact, when I planted the church, you know, a lot of new churches are being planted all over the place, and there was all these catchy, oh, this is my mission statement, you know, all these catchy new phrases and new ideas, and I was like, I want a cool mission statement. And the Lord just kept bringing me back to these two greats. Because it's based upon two greats. The great commandments, right? To love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, right? To love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the great commandments. And then the great commission, right? To go into all the world making disciples of all nations. And I thought, well, yeah, that's just scripture. That's, and it's like, the Lord's like, yeah, that's scripture, and that's what you need to do. That's what I've called you to do, you know? And so I realized, I don't have a catchy little mission statement, but I have one of the greatest mission statements in the world, because it's what God's called all of us to do as the church. And the way I said that, it's not even me. Our church has this great mission statement that we've been called to love people. That's what we've been called to do. And there may be other aspects of that calling. You know, we're all called to love God, to love people, to see His kingdom extend. And there may be other aspects to your calling. For instance, I'm called to be a pastor. That's why I'm up here. I was called to be a pastor. If you were here last week, I shared my son at camp an amazing story, how God spoke to him and said, I want you to be a missionary. And it's an amazing story. So Toby has been called to be a missionary as he grows up, you know, and others are called to serve in many different ways. But we're all called to love God and to love people, to extend His kingdom. In the same way that David was anointed to be king in this scripture, God has anointed us to be people who let our light shine. And that's regardless of how young or old you are. Okay? Some of us, you know, we retire, oh, my days are done. No, there's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. Okay? There's retirement in the world, and yes, it's great. You have worked a hard life, and you deserve to you know, not have to go to work every day and pound it out. But in the kingdom of God, you still get to let your light shine wherever you're at. Okay? Whether that's in school when you're young, right? Whether that's in your neighborhoods and your workplace, or whether you're retired and it's out on the golf course, okay? Hitting with your buddies. Whatever it may be, all right? We have to let our light shine. We're called to let our light shine. And that comes out of the scriptures, Matthew 5:16, which says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father in heaven. This verse has become my family's life verse. And it's become a part of who we are. Everything that we are with our kids, we talk about letting our light shine. This morning, I'm going to do a special song for you this morning. And worship team can go ahead and start making their way up here. As they're making their way up, I want to share with you a little bit of the background of how this song was even written, how this song came about. I actually started writing this song back in 1997, okay? Some of you are like, I wasn't even born then, all right? But I started writing this song back in 1997. And Stacy and I had taken over, actually, in 1996, the middle school youth group down in Eugene at Eastside Faith Center. And we had kind of took over this youth group, and we started a Wednesday night youth ministry, much like starting the ministry that they did here on Sunday nights. And it was one of those things that I really wanted a name. I wanted an identity. But I'm not one. I don't want to, like, just create this cool, fun identity that has no meaning. I really wanted a name that had a meaning, a name that really was an identity that God had given to us, a name that came from the Lord, not just a name that I made up. And one day, Stacy and I, you know, we were actually, I believe it was in church, in the middle, she kind of turned to me, and we'd been praying about it for a while, and she said, what about shine? And I kind of thought, I was like, I like that, shine. Middle school ministries. And I was like, that's kind of cool, you know. And we started talking. She goes, I know there's that scripture, you know, Matthew 5:16, you know, let your light so shine. And I was like, that's good. And then I was like, yeah. And Newsboys had that song that had just come out, you know, shine, make them wonder what you got, make them wish that they were not. And I'm thinking, that's an awesome name. And so I was like, sweet, you know. And so that became the name of our youth group, Shine. And then, in the midst of that, I started writing this song about our youth group, about how important it is for us to let our light shine for Him, and the reality that people see us and watch what we do, and for us to let our light shine for Him. And so began to write this song, and I was writing it, but I kind of hit a spot where I had a verse and chorus, and I just couldn't quite finish the song, and so I kind of tabled it for a little bit. Well, then the Lord called us to step out of the middle school ministry there and to take over the high school ministry. Now, same thing. They didn't have a name, and we had started this high school ministry. And again, we were praying, Lord, we want a name that means something, a name that is from you, that defines who you're calling us to be. And once again, it was really interesting. We're at church. We're in the middle of worship, okay, and we're singing a song. My wife turns to me, and she goes, what about Blaze? Now, I have to admit, my first response was, that's dumb, you know? I mean, seriously? Blaze? And now let me explain why I thought that was dumb and why I responded in the way that I responded. We were singing a song. Now, some of you may remember this song. This was a song back in the late 90s. It was very popular in churches. You sang it. And it's a song that goes, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory. You may remember that song, right? Well, the very next line goes, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire, right? And so we had just sang the blaze, Spirit, blaze. And she turned to me and she goes, what about Blaze? Now, I'm sitting there and I'm like, whatever. I'm like, that's just the next line of the song, you know? And I made some comment like this. I'm like, what, now if we take over the college-age group, are we going to be like flow? Because the next line goes, flow, river, flow, you know? And I'm thinking, seriously, are we going to, you know, just go from shine to blaze to flow? It's just part of that song. And so I kind of gave her a bad time. But what was interesting that week, the Lord just began to impress upon my heart, blaze. There's something about that. That referring to allowing that Holy Spirit fire to ignite us in a way that others can't help but see a difference in our life. And just the idea that once you learn to shine, you got to learn to blaze. So from middle school to high school, I thought, this is perfect. And so we had our middle school youth group that was called Shine, our high school youth group that was called Blaze. And it was at that time that I finally began to finish the rap that I wrote. Did I tell you it was a rap? Now some of you might not like rap, and my only hope is that you enjoy this. And I'm not like a gangster rapper kind of stuff. I like rap that with a chorus and with some fun and have some fun in it. But I finally finished the rap as I became that high school pastor and blending these two things together. And so the first two verses of this rap, they're talking about Shine, middle school, and the Blaze high school group that we had. And then I want you to know this morning I made some modifications to the third verse. Modifications to kind of bring us to today and our youth group today and what Joshua and his amazing team have started with our youth ministries. And so we kind of added a third little verse in there. And so this morning, D Preacher, that was my rapping name, D for Darren, Preacher, because I was a youth pastor and did that. Some of you laugh. You should have heard my name back in high school. I was Sweet D, you know. I had this, they call me Sweet D because I'm as sweet as can be, you know. So then when I became a youth pastor, it became D Preacher. They call me De Preacher because I'm out to reach you, all right? So this morning, D Preacher is going to get his old school on, okay? Now, you got to remember, I wrote this back in 2000, so we tried to funk it up a little bit, take you back to the year 2000. I'm going to sing a little song for you. Let me drink some water because I am so dehydrated from the last couple days. And I have to switch mics here because I can't rap through this thing. I'm not Britney Spears or whoever boy band here, so I got to get my test. 1, 2, we got this. All right. I got to take a deep breath here. Are you guys ready this morning? I don't know if I am. We'll see. We'll see what you think of me after this morning, all right? Are you guys ready? Everybody ready? All right, here we go. A 1, 2, a 1, 2, ready, go.
World, they watch us every day. They watch it, everything we do and everything we say. They want to know the truth. They want to know our ways. They want to know, is it real or is it just a fake? So if you start to talk, you need to walk the walk. Because when it doesn't want the truth, it shouldn't be a shock. They should see it in your life. They should see it all the time. Because if you want a wing to spin, you gotta let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
It's time to play.
It's time to play. Now there's a Holy Spirit fire, it's flowing through our veins. It's time we let it loose, you see, it's time we learn to blaze. The Spirit's full of power, a power from above. It gives a supernatural ability to love. Yeah, supernatural, that's exactly what it is. We can't achieve it on our own, we need to look to Him. He'll be our guiding light, a lamp unto our feet. Now if we're talking music, see, He'll help you keep the beat. So tap into the Spirit, and let it guide your ways. Once you learn to shine, you see, you gotta learn to blaze.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
It's time to play.
It's time to play.
Let go, let go, let it shine.
Let it shine.
It's time to play.
It's funky time. Dallas, they're learning as we go. To simply open up their hearts and let the Spirit flow. The Lord, He wants to use them, an agent but a thing. The Lord, He used a boy to kill a giant with a sling. Well, we got giant killers, we're raising them in our youth. We're lighting them on fire and about to let them loose. They're learning how to shine, they're learning how to blaze. It begins in the heat, step aside. Fire's coming this way.
Gonna let it shine.
Let it shine. It's time to play. It's time to play.
Gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
It's time to play.
It's time to play.
Gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
It's time to play.
To blaze last time,
gonna let it shine,
let it shine.
It's time to blaze,
it's time to blaze.
Oh man, I'm not as young as I used to be, I am out of breath.
Woo.
Man, well, have fun today. I had fun. Here's the thing I want to finish with this morning. It doesn't matter how young, how old you are, how many times you've failed. God wants to use you to be His light in this dark and fallen world. He's called us to be His lights, to shine bright. He's anointed each and every one of us for such a time as this. But it's our job to decide, are we going to fulfill that calling He's placed upon our life? Are we going to be the lights that He's called us to be, that shine in a way that draw others to Him? That's who He's called us to be at this church. And I hope that we all can grab hold of who He's called us to be and to go into this place called Dallas and the surrounding areas and see more and more people come to know Him. Amen? Let me pray real quick and we'll wrap things up. Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for just fun. The fun of family, the fun of being together, the fun of just being able to let our hair down and enjoy ourselves, Lord. We thank You for that. And we thank You that, Lord, You are a God of fun. Lord, even just conversations earlier, how just growing up in different churches and things, and just how we can get so caught up in religion, Lord. And so caught up in this and that and the rules and regulations. But Lord, You came to give us life. And Lord, yes, there are some things that You want us to do, but those aren't rules to rule our life and to pull us down. They're life that helps us live the life that You've called us to live and to live it more abundantly, Lord. May we see that. May we experience that. And may we be lights that shine bright for You, Lord. We thank You for this time. We thank You for this word, Lord. We pray that You just allow it to penetrate our hearts, Lord, and help us to be and do what You've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.